Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Well, all right. Sad day in New York City.
Well, all right.
All right.
It's been a great year.
All right, Yankees, take it from here.
What else we got?
It's been a good year. It's good to be back.
Stop.
It's good to be back in the
East.
Yeah, it's good to be
you
back
in the playoffs.
League.
It's been a great year.
Great is, you know, a higher standard, but it's really good to be back where you feel pain. I said it to a lot of Knicks fans last night, and what was awesome about the game, about the end of the game last night, was the fact it was at the Garden. Is all these fans come out at the 7th Avenue, and they still fill the whole street. And it's like, when you see the fans, that's all you say to them, is that, you know what, though? You see what you're feeling right now? That's actual, like, what you're supposed to feel like. That's pain.
Be happy, man.
Y'all like, you're not numb anymore.
Got five games out of it.
Yeah, exactly. It was a
rough.
So Tibbs was a Coach of the Year candidate.
Mm-hmm.
You guys have made the playoffs for the first time since 2013.
Yep.
Julius Randle became their first All-Star since 2018.
Mm-hmm.
You were finishing the upper echelon of the Eastern Conference, and you finished with a winning percentage of 56.9.
Yep. Only up from here, man. That's it.
That's the best part.
That's the part that we need to talk about. Where does it go from here? Up means
don't be the wet blanket right now, Jay.
What are you talking about?
I'm too vulnerable.
Up means you have to finish better than top four.
But why do
up means you have to finish better than fourth in the East. That's what up.
No, you can finish fourth and reshape your roster, be better, like just more efficient, better.
Well, that's
better
what they
got to
do now.
Yes,
that's up
means
that's up.
Up means it's time to land a big asset.
But you can't do that with the current roster. You've got to be able to now upgrade your talent, which is the biggest challenge, and it's always been.
What you got was a bit
of an overachieving season and a fun one.
There you go.
But the Knicks, like a lot of teams, which when they take that first step, it's like okay. Wouldn't you say, guys, in any sport, the easiest thing to do is go from suck to pretty good? The hard part is to go from pretty good to, contender. That's that step why Danny Ainge isn't working anymore. He couldn't do that. Like, it's like that's pretty much the hard part now is to stay off get off the treadmill of where you're just kind of good every year, but you're never going to have a chance to win a championship.
They just got to the playoffs. Y'all like, we got to have a championship next year.
Well, no, that's not what I said. It's the process of building towards that instead of taking the step back.
There's nothing wrong with having a relentless pursuit of excellence, Alan. There's nothing wrong with that.
And that
starts every single day.
I like
and
that.
It's always now it's about
t-shirt.
Who are disgruntled employees who are out there that the Knicks can talk to.
Think I'm not watching.
If the Clippers lose, is that Kawhi? Dame? In Portland, if they don't get by Denver, they're down 3-2. What happens there? Bradley Beal, the question started being asked last night after they lost to the 76ers. What's going on, Bradley Beal? What's up with your future?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of positioning right now for Leon Rose and World Wide West and what they want to accomplish. That's where we are.
Yeah, that's where that's again.
Smile, man. It's good.
That's where the Knicks are. We'll see where the Lakers are going to be tonight.
Don't worry about the Lakers.
I knew that was going to happen.
Well, no, but that.
Which part?
That he was going to transition from the Knicks. Back to your squad.
And then I was
going to
say, don't worry about the Lakers.
Yes.
Yeah, because it becomes a negative out of his mouth immediately.
I just said, we'll see where the Lakers are
You don't
tonight.
Have to say, we'll see. You should just say,
hey, look,
the Lakers play tonight, and then
this?
We go there.
How about this? if you're gonna guess, would it be street clothes, or is it going to be uniform?
If he's in street clothes, it's not going to be good. So he better dress. Even if he got to walk out there and fake it. I'd rather for him to walk out there.
He needs to go Willis Reed, just dragging the leg up the floor.
If in fact
Anthony Davis, we're talking about
a 6-footer post him up in the game, I'd rather see that. I'd rather see a 6-foot-1 guard post him up and get buckets on him rather than
Chris Paul.
Yeah, I'd rather see Chris Paul get down low and post him up rather than see him standing there with some expensive street clothes on that don't look good. That's what I would rather see.
Yeah.
Even if AD is back tonight, I go back to what I said yesterday. I know LeBron plays the game, quote unquote, the right way with making the right pass. I will say tonight, LeBron James does not need to play this game the LeBron James way. LeBron James needs to play this game the aggressive way.
And what do you think he'll do?
I think he's going to answer the call.
Yeah, absolutely.
But answering the call means – like, I want to see LeBron take 25-plus shots.
Hot dog.
Like, he has to.
Yeah.
Because I'm looking at Alex Caruso. I'm looking at KCP. I'm not sure about your knee. I'm looking at my other weapons saying, okay, I came out. I played the right way in game five.
Mm-hmm.
You guys really didn't give me a lot. If I have AD back, AD is going to be a little bit hesitant. Tonight, I need to be aggressive. I need to be different tonight.
Yeah, Lakers Suns again. That's the 10:30 game tonight. Game
10:30.
Game six. 10, yeah, 10:30 Eastern.
That's been my life.
10:30 p.m. Eastern. Yeah, Key. So
those late night games, man.
10:30 or 10?
That'd be 10:30 p.m. is the tip off. 8 o'clock game is the Denver Portland game, which at least we get to see Dame Lillard.
Dame.
On the East Coast at a reasonable hour.
Key, you can't start the sake at 6 p.m.
No, I'm good.
I know, I'm just saying, last time you started at 6, it makes out for a long night.
I'm good, man. I'm straight.
Oh, that's right, you're done.
Yeah, I'm done. I'm good. Okay. I'm going to have to figure this out.
That's right, you're done.
I might have weekend.
After his extended vacation weekend.
But I'm good.
We're going to fight through it?
Ooh, man, I'm going to fight through it. The urge.
Although, much like LeBron did in Game 5, starts out the game with that, and Wendy said this on the jump yesterday, with the laser in his eyes, like I'm coming in here to just destroy. Then he looked around and saw the rest of his teammates and how they were playing, and he's like, all right, that's enough of that. So you'll be the same way if that happens in Game 6.
Legacy-defining moment for LeBron tonight.
So he's got to go, regardless of how many bricks his teammates are throwing up, there's no more preserving yourself, this is do or die.
But he's not going to...
He's never lost in the first round.
I love that. 14 straight appearances, never lost.
Yeah,
I get it.
It's true.
But this is a different year. And look, and I think he understands what happened the last game in Game 5, that he didn't play his A game at the level that he needed to, much like Jay said. It's a different. These type of guys like this, they know how to just turn the switch on when they have to, mm-hmm. no matter who you are. Mm-hmm. In a sport, whether it's football, baseball, basketball, hockey, golf, people just that are stars – just do it. They just do it.
Yeah.
Now, he may not be able to do it 6 and 7, but tonight, I guarantee that he's going to turn up the heat.
And if it doesn't work, then Dennis Schroeder needs to get his money somewhere else.
Well, he probably will.
Because you can't have a donut. By the way, Dennis Schroeder, we're talking about, and I love DS17. I think he's a special talent.
Ugly number, but
he's probably going to get paid a lot of money by another franchise, probably north of $90 million. I'm looking at you, Alan.
Don't know.
Don't you guys be that franchise?
Don't look at me.
Could the Knicks be that franchise?
No.
But you can't be in that stratosphere payment-wise and have a donut in Game 5.
No.
A donut. 0 points. When LeBron James needs you the most, when you don't have AD, when you were brought there to be that guy.
To be the third guy.
Can't have a donut, man.
No, I don't think he will. I think all of them will kind of rally around what just happened in Phoenix in Game 5. I think everybody's game changes tonight. I mean, it's
you don't have a choice. Everything, you got to lay it out on the line, and that's why it'll be a compelling watch.
Yeah,
but
you can't. You're the defending champions, bubble or not.
Physical game.
The other LA team. I mean, again, you talk about a team that I can't figure them out. Luka goes for 42. The Clippers lose again at Staples. They're now down 3-2. I mean, you know, when you talk about showing up in a big moment, once again, where are those guys when they're supposed to win, especially at home?
And the crazy thing, you mentioned home for the Clippers and the Lakers, the two teams that's left in the state of California. They got like 6,000 people. When you go to other arenas.
They have cutouts.
Pat. Yes.
They had like, cutouts at Staples. Pat. What was that?
So it's a different – I can see how the Mavs at home can – the crowd, or Atlanta, or even the Knicks, or Boston, or Brooklyn versus what the Lakers and the Clippers are working with. That certainly has to have some effect on them at home.
There's no atmosphere at all.
It's crazy, but because the Clippers have won both their games in Dallas.
Yeah, right.
It has to
in
have
Dallas,
some,
so
some
that
effect.
Probably rejuvenates them, lifts them up. Whereas, I know once again, man, last night there was a small play after Kawhi shot that ball. It's a screen grab of Rajon Rondo and Kawhi, and that's been a microcosm of the issue we've been talking about being their problem, leaderless mm-hmm. at moments of the game, where Rondo's looking at him like, what are you doing?
Yeah, right. And that's been – they have been that team that's so unpredictable. And can you imagine if both L.A. teams aren't available for the NBA after the first round?
I'm going to Utah.
That would be – yes.
Western Conference Finals.
By the way, Utah, they finish off the Grizzlies 126-110, so they move on in their series. The Sixers beat the Wizards. They move on in their series, so we're starting to set up the second round. There, we're showing it right there.
Because Rondo is maniacal, man.
Yeah, that look on his face is just amazing. A lot of basketball today. A lot of news. Didn't even get into what's happening in Boston right now and also in the college game. You see Jay Will wearing his Duke jacket today. A little varsity action going on there. There's some big news there. You guys know Van Halen, right? Running with the Devil. one last time. Mm-hmm. That will be next after Key has this from Straight Talk Wireless.
It's time for some Straight Talk. Sure, saving money feels good, but cutting your wireless bill in half, that feels really good. Like a walk-off home run in the ninth inning good? Okay, maybe not that damn good, but pretty darn good with Straight Talk. You can get 25 gigs of high-speed data for $25 a month, up to 50% less than other guys, plus no contract, all on America's best networks. Why pay a whole lot, Jay, when you can pay half? Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise.
We have breaking news. Duke head coach Mike Krzyzewski is planning to retire.
There are so many things that are changing about the sport, and if it were to stay exactly the same, I could see Coach K doing this forever.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, we are presented by Progressive Insurance. Alan Hunt in for Zubin. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. A lot of basketball news. A lot of things happening yesterday. And one of the headlines that hit us yesterday afternoon after the show was over. And, Jay, I'll let you tell me if you found this one to be a surprise or you felt like it was coming. And that, of course, is Mike Krzyzewski calling 2021-2022 season his final season at Duke. Did you have any inclination at all that this was coming and it would come in this fashion?
No. No clue at all. And I would say that, you know, the thing for me about Coach, I thought Coach K would coach for another, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, because he's still filled with venom and passion about the sport. Like, this is his craft that he's so dedicated to in every form or facet. Everyone. I was even more shocked that it was going to be John Shire. And I love John Shire.
And he's been the coach in waiting.
He's coach in waiting. Right. And I'm extremely happy for John Shire. I just wasn't expecting it to be John. But I've also called John, you know, a young Brad Stevens. I've been calling him that since he's got into the coaching ranks, because he's a savant. Like, he's kind of low-key kept. He's a genius, man. And the way he communicates, the way he's able to break down plays – obviously, you know, the whole Chicago background, Coach K from Chicago, Shire playing basketball in Illinois. It seems like it works, but it would have been interesting. Names like Tommy Amaker, who's over at Harvard, Chris Collins, Northwestern, Steve Wojciechowski.
Yeah.
You thought Bobby Hurley, ASU. There were a lot of names, Mike Bray, Notre Dame, other names that maybe you would have thought before John Shire. I think that was the only reason why I was like, oh, John Shire. Mm-hmm. But after having time to kind of think through it and settle with the fact that this is going to be Coach K's last year, I couldn't have asked for a better person to take the mantle, even though it comes with a crazy amount of pressure, than John Shire.
You know, you know Duke program clearly. When you started to think about John Shire and why they would go to him, it made sense to, you know, because as a basketball fan, I'm looking for – they got many ex-Duke alums as coaching college basketball.
Mm-hmm.
But they're currently coaching, right? So it would be like – if it's in waiting, it would have to be somebody on the bench, because you can't go poach a guy and say, hey, next year,
well,
you're the guy.
You could, in college basketball. I mean,
right?
You could.
Because he's coaching the team that he's currently on.
Right. It's not like you could just tell Tommy Amaker, you know,
yeah, Tommy Amaker, sit tight, wait a year.
Yeah.
Or, you know, and I'm going to retire and you're going to become the head coach. I mean, you don't want to do that.
Why is he taking the year? Why not step down? Just, I'm done.
Well, I mean, I haven't spoken to him, so I don't know. Not yet. We're going to talk to him sometime very, very, very soon and have him on our show, obviously. But my only thing I would say is that, you know, I think what's been challenging for him is that, you know, one of the things that helped me out, and Key, I don't know, football is different. But see, like the whole one and done thing has changed everything, right? And I think when I was coming to school in 99, that was when there was a mass exodus. Elton Brand left, William Avery left, Corey Maggette left, and there was a communications issue. And it was a really big thing for us because we had four or five McDonald's All-Americans come in at the same time. We all started. I wasn't expecting to start my freshman year, right? I thought I was going to be playing beside or behind William Avery.
Okay.
So I got thrown to the fire, right? Which is fine. I loved it. Obviously, Blossom, National Player of the Year, won a championship. But what happened is I got time to buy in. He challenged me, and in a way, he kind of broke all of our egos down and then built us back up over time. So we became a team. What happens is now that process is expedited because people are only there for 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much harder to do. Breaking down egos and then getting them to buy into what the team culture aspect of what Duke is. Like, look at what happened with Johnson this year. He was a kid that was there and decided, you know, it's not working for me. And decided to leave the team mid-season.
That would
never
happen.
That would never happen
back then.
Even 5-6 years ago, you would never thought about that.
Mm-hmm.
But now with all the options and with where we are in college basketball, the transfer portal, recruiting other kids from other teams, one and done, you have, you know, leagues like Overtime Elite, we talk about on the show, High School Professional Basketball League. There's so many things out there. It's a lot to take in for a guy that's constantly adapting.
So potentially for him, not where it is in college basketball today is not where he want to be. He doesn't want to have to go out and recruit against the portal, recruit against the G League, recruit against other schools. It's like a lot of work that he has to do that he probably didn't have to do many years ago.
Well, you think about it. For 40 years, he's coached, and he's pretty much done it
the same way. Same way.
And even as one and done came, there wasn't a lot of that going on at Duke. There was one program that didn't really have to do that.
Though.
But then that became a thing, and then he adapted to that as well. And maybe it's just reached that point when, you know, you get to the level that he's gotten to. I mean, the winningest coach, you know, in college basketball. When you reach that point and it's like, all right, now you've got to redo everything. I don't know if I'm ready to do all that, and maybe this is my time. Maybe the game, the overall scope of college basketball, maybe it's kind of passed me by. It's going somewhere where I can't even keep up with
it. Let's be real about it, though, okay? And this is why I love our show, because we're always going to tell the real story about things. There are so many poachers for kids out there right now. Like, kids are being handed bags left and right. Right? From a lot of different sources. Is agents.
When you say bags, you mean not bags of gear.
Money.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, agents, financial advisors. You have runners that work for agents.
Yeah.
People are tied in with other coaches. People are tied in with, you know, it's other leagues.
Tennis
other
shoe things, companies, allegedly.
Shoe companies. I mean, think about all the stories that we've had that have came out over the last several years. I mean, Jim Gatto, what you had over at Adidas, mm-hmm. that whole investigation. There's been so many... So there's so many tentacles, like, in the water that it's hard to navigate. It's no longer, I want to rock with Keyshawn Johnson. I'm going to come to Keyshawn Johnson's house. I'm going to sit down with his mom. Mm-hmm. I'm going to sit down with his family. Keyshawn looks me in the eye and says, I'm rocking out with you. I'm coming to USC. Bam. Yeah. I know it's done.
And I know I've got you for at least 3 years. You know,
or at least a couple of years to say, okay, I got Keyshawn now. Who's the next big wide receiver 2 years instead of I got Keyshawn now. Damn, I need to find the next top wide receiver this year and then the next year and then the year after that because they keep coming in and keep going. That turnover is crazy.
And at least you know if you get one guy that – like if you went and you recruited LeBron James, you know he's only going to be with me for 6 months. Where now you might lose four dudes that are all true freshmen that are all bouncing on you and now you got to recycle that – all over again. And some of those guys that leave aren't even ready. And you can't convince them.
And you try to, but the
they're not ready. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And I can't build a relationship with you. You're like, you're only around for 3-4 months, man.
Where's the library?
How many games did Kyrie play?
11.
Yeah.
11. And was the first pick in the draft.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing, but that's really where the game has gone. And again, it's not to say that the game has passed him by. Coach K, again, one of the greatest, if not greatest, coaches in college basketball history, and he will have one more year, a farewell tour, and if anybody deserves it, it certainly is him. Keyshawn J. Will Zubin, brought to you by Mako. When life throws you uh-ohs, just say, better get Mako. And head to Mako.com and get an online estimate today. So Coach K got the most out of Jason Tatum at Duke. So who will get the best out of Tatum now in the NBA? Mm. And could another Duke coach be the answer? We'll discuss that next. KJZ, ESPN Radio.
Danny Ainge stepping down as president of basketball operations.
Brad Stevens assume a more prominent front office role with the team. And the Celtics are expected to start a search for a new head coach.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
So the basketball news just keeps coming. Yesterday, a very, very busy day for the round ball. And whether it's the playoff games, the performances, we haven't even mentioned Donovan Mitchell yet, a 30-point performance for the Jazz as they eliminate the Grizzlies and they move forward and still look like the best team or the team to beat in the West. But one of the teams that was a disappointment this year is the Boston Celtics. The Boston Celtics were just a mess all year, and there were questions about Brad Stevens and his ability to coach this group anymore and whether or not Danny Ainge was going to make the right moves. Well, the moves were Danny Ainge out and Brad Stevens. We just got this at a late in our show yesterday, Danny Ainge stepping down. But then the surprising news, I think, of Brad Stevens being kicked upstairs, no longer the coach, now moving to president of basketball operations. Let's make this Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Brad Stevens discussing why he's staying with the Celtics.
I think the biggest thing is that I'm passionate about this group of people. I'm passionate about the team that we have. I'm passionate about the people that work in our front office. I'm passionate about our coaching staff, and that's who I've spent all morning with. The people in our sports performance staff. I'm passionate about the whole thing. And I do think that I've got a good insight to our team as Danny now steps away. And so I feel like I've got a good idea about what we do well, what we don't do as well. And I also think, you know, I've been doing this for 8 years. I've been in that locker room with some of those guys for a long time.
That's Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. This is a bit of a surprise, guys.
Is it?
Brad Stevens leaving the sidelines to go to the front office, that's not something I saw. No way.
No, I didn't see it, especially for a coach. I mean, he had success, but he didn't ultimately win a championship. Usually guys that win championships, if they decide to take a break, they go upstairs, get kicked upstairs. But when you don't win and you get taken out in the first round and you've been exited out of the playoffs, what has been – Four straight years now that they've been.
No. They actually, I mean, they got to the Eastern Conference Finals.
No, but I'm saying exiting out of the playoffs. What is it? Three of the four have been in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Right.
But then this year, early exit.
Early exit.
When you look at that, you know, you say to yourself, okay, maybe he's looking to hit the reset button from a mental standpoint. So he wants to take a step back from coaching and it's an easier transition to kind of go upstairs, look at it from a different lens, and be able to say, okay, this is what I was doing wrong as a coach. This is what I need to improve on. Maybe that's the reason that they kick him upstairs. And then you got to look at the length of the contract. You know, does a guy who's under contract want to just say, you know what, I want to just relax, go fishing for a year or two before I wind up taking another job? Or do I want to still kind of be around the situation? So the best thing for me to do is go deal with the front office.
I've been saying this for multiple years now. Brad Stevens, a brilliant coach, X's and O's, not good at managing personalities. We've seen that, right? Great coaches get personalities to mesh, which is what makes his skill set perfectly suited for the front office. Think about when he was at Butler, he can handpick personalities and say, okay, I think your personality meshes with yours. Let me put these pieces together. Wasn't really in that position when he was the head coach. It was more Danny Ainge with draft picks, with free agent acquisitions, putting all that together. I think it's the right move for the organization. Now, another conversation is how he got there, though. The fact that not other coaches get the opportunity to transition into front office. But look, Brad Stevens is really smart. He's really smart. Mm-hmm. He's just not great at managing personalities.
So
he's not. Okay. And he won't have to do that when he's the general manager.
He needs somebody in the locker room.
Yes.
He needs that leader that can handle the locker room. I'll handle the X's and O's. I'll get you prepared. But I need somebody that's going to, you know, have a hold of the room. And that group, there just isn't that kind of guy.
But he's not dealing with the X's and O's anymore. He's a front office guy.
Yeah, that's why it's strange.
Now what Jay is saying, essentially, personality-wise, he's got to find somebody who has his personality as a coach to be able to build the team with his personality. Because picking players, had he stayed on as the coach, Doc Rivers-like coach and front office guy, now he can pick the players that match his personality. The important thing for him is finding a coach that has his personality or even a coach that he can understand's personality to pick the players to mesh with him. Because just going upstairs and picking players, you got to make sure you're picking the right guys to mesh with that personality from a head coaching standpoint.
You already know what your core is on this team. I mean, Tatum, Brown, right? Those are your two guys. Mm-hmm. And what they do beyond those two, it doesn't matter. Those are your two pieces. But when it comes to hiring a head coach, that's the most critical thing here for this franchise, right? Whatever he does with personnel, it doesn't matter if you don't get the right coach. So the candidates are really interesting. If you think about some of the names that have come up already, Sam Cassell, who's everybody loves him as an assistant coach. He's put in his time also, making sure he's on different coaching staffs. He's worked. He played for the Celtics, so he has that lineage. Chauncey Billups, who's another guy now. He's on the staff in with the Clippers, and he's put in that time also as an assistant getting experience. He did also play for the Clippers. But beyond that, you know, what are other names that would make sense? You said somebody that has the same personality as Brad Stevens.
If Jay is saying that because of his time at Butler, he was used to picking the players to mesh with his personality. He has to, if his vision is the players need to be the type of players that I like, I want to pick versus some other guys, he's got to find that coach that has his personality. Or find a coach that can coach, but the player's got to fit that coach's personality.
Yeah.
That's what he has to be able to navigate through. Juwan Howard's Jay mentioned it. Juwan Howard, he should be an NBA coach. That'd be a perfect situation. Sam Cassell, a coach who did extremely well in the G League with that super, Brian Shaw.
G League.
That's somebody that that played with the Celtics. That's a reset button that in Denver it didn't work out, but he's been away from it for a while. Now all of a sudden you look at that. Who else would be out there, Jay?
I would even say Kara Lawson. Kara Lawson, who worked with the team. She's
on the coaching staff.
Duke basketball now, mm-hmm. coaching the 3-on-3 World Championship in the Olympics. Look, and she's absolutely brilliant. She has great relationships with Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown. I've heard every player rave about her. It could be a great opportunity for everything that Boston has gone through. You know, and let's bring it up. Even with the way, and I understand Danny can only speak from his experiences, But understanding that, hey, there were some issues racially that were happening in Boston, right? The history of that. Danny Ainge pretty much coming out and saying, I've never known any player that's dealt with situations, even though Marcus Smart has written an article for the Players Tribune. Like, what a statement would it be for the Boston Celtics to hire the first women head coach of the NBA? And then also to add to that, she's qualified now. She's qualified. Like, I'm just not saying hire a woman for the sake of hiring. She's qualified.
Well, she's been there. The players, that, and again, those most important players, are two most important players, they know her. And so they've worked with her. So there's already a built-in relationship.
But a woman of color to be the first head coach of the Boston Celtics, what a grand statement that would be. And I'm telling you right now, you find me a player on the Boston Celtics roster that would say, I don't want Kara Lawson to be our coach. I would be shocked. Kimba's loved her. Tatum raves about her. Brown raves about her. Internally inside the organization, she's worked with Brad, has a great relationship with Brad, has studied underneath all of them, understands their systems, is a great communicator, and she understands culture. That's the most important part. Mm-hmm. Understanding how to build a culture of trust, and that starts with having trust with your best players. And Kara Lawson has that with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown.
And I think that would be – you know, that would be something like if I was running the situation, you know, obviously I'm going to interview everybody else, but she would be at the top of my list. No question about it, based just solely on everything Jay just said. That's important. That's extremely important.
You think about the history of that franchise, Red Auerbach and his relationship with Bill Russell, and Bill Russell becoming a player coach, head coach. You have Casey Jones, and he coached one of their greatest eras as their head coach, and obviously played for them as well, but then came back to coach that team. Doc Rivers and the great success he had in Boston as well.
And sometimes to be successful, you have to think outside the box. You can't just be on a one-track.
Well, I don't even know if this is outside the box. This is somebody who's actually
saying outside the box because certain organizations and certain people become, you know how it is. You in Boston, as Jay said. You know, sometimes you gotta say, okay, yes, she's there, she's been there, she understands it, mm-hmm. but she hasn't been the head coach. So you would have to think outside the box to be able to say, we're getting ready to push this button.
It's an incredible.
Because she's qualified.
Right. Qualified is the most important part of it, right? But it's also, I think, the biggest fear for anyone is not about whether or not her, Becky Hammond, whether or not they're qualified. Becky Hammond's put in plenty of time in San Antonio, right? You would think
absolutely.
Becky Hammond, when it's time for Pop to say, I'm done.
To the San Antonio Spurs,
just,
yes.
I mean, she's been there forever. All the players know her. It's become so – it's no longer odd to see her. You think of Becky Hammond. But it's the pressure, especially in a market like Boston – that if you're the first one,
that's why
and
I
you're
say,
doing it there.
But that's why I say you got to think outside the box.
That's a lot of pressure to put on someone.
Why it's even more inside the pocket. So the owner, Steve Palaguccia, is a Duke alumni.
Yep.
Okay, you guys know I love sports business. He's one of the co-chairmen of Bain Capital, right? Private equity, huge. Bain Capital, huge, yep. How he bought the team. So the ties in there between him and Brad and how they work, but with Kara Lawson, considering Kara Lawson is the head coach of Duke women's basketball team, like she's putting her time there. Like all the ties, the angles are there. They're connected. It's a matter of them pulling the switch.
Yeah.
Most important part is, would she be interested? She just went to Duke and now is starting that program.
I think it would be very hard, and I'm not speaking for Kara Lawson.
Yep.
I spent a lot
no.
of time with her. I work with her here at ESPN. I spent time with her when she's down at Duke women's basketball team. I think it would be very hard for her to say no to that opportunity.
You know why it's hard, though, too?
Very hard.
Much like you said, opportunity. Like, it's certain things, Alan, as you know, when you become the first to do it,
mm-hmm.
it feels it's just different.
It's a pioneer.
Like, I'm the first to do it many times over. You know, people say, how come you won't go and do the NFL thing and this, that? It's like, it doesn't, I'm like, you know, I'm not Ozzie Newsome. I wasn't the first to do it. Now, it's nothing special about it. It's like, okay, you go pick some players and put a team together and we win a championship. But it's not special. It's not as special as somebody like Carol being the first to do it, that's qualified to do it, to show people, see, this can be done.
How important would it be also, or I'm saying, how important is it that in some cases when you get a new coach, it's like a total rebuild and it's a young team and you almost have no chance to win. She would go into a situation where you have two all-star caliber players as the core.
Mm-hmm.
And both of them know her, the relationship mm-hmm. already there, the respect factor is so important, right? Like that, I always feel like whenever you do something like this, if they even do it, and we're just, you know, it's all hypothetical, but it is an interesting topic because this, you want to make sure that somebody like Kara Lawson would be set up to succeed.
Yes.
And you are when you have two foundational players like that to begin with, and then, of course, the GM, who is all about making sure this is my hire, I got to do everything I can to make sure you succeed, because then we all, like, it becomes the success we want it to be instead of, well, it's a rebuild, and we're going to need to buy some time, and that's the worst situation to walk into.
What's a bad team right now in the NBA? Like a really bad – I mean, like, we could always point to Sacramento.
Detroit,
like,
Pistons.
Like a really
– yeah,
like, if this was a Minnesota or a Detroit, and they were like, yeah, I would be like, you probably want to think about staying at Duke because yeah. –
You don't want
no, you don't want to mess
want
with
this
that.
Filth on you.
No,
yeah.
You don't want that. But this is the Boston Celtics, which, much like you said, Alan, it's like you got pieces there already to work with.
And just not two pieces. I mean, you got two. We're talking Jason Tatum's had multiple 50-point-plus games this season.
Would you put him top 10, top 12 in the league right now?
Yeah, I think he's top 10.
Top 10.
I think he's top 10.
10 list is always hard to do, but, yeah, top 10, top 12.
I think, you know, in the next – will Jason Tatum be a top five player? Yeah. I mean, Jalen Rose and I over the weekend were trying to go through, like, young players in the league. Like, who's at the top? Luka? Nikola Jokic? Hey,
Luka, by the way. We barely
Donovan
talked
Mitchell.
About what he did
Donovan
last
Mitchell?
Night.
I mean, yeah. Jason Tatum's in that same breath with Donovan Mitchell, is
yeah.
he not?
That's
right? Like, yeah. He's right there.
What he's been
he's
doing.
He's going to be the MVP of
the
league one day.
On
Jalen
Tatum,
Brown?
The knock on Tatum is...
Well, everybody has a knock to a degree.
Of course. He's a great player, but it doesn't permeate in the locker room as far as, like, him being a franchise player. This is my team. I set the standard.
I don't know who said that.
That certainly had been said about him all year with the way they've played. It's like he doesn't use his voice in the locker room. He's not that kind of leader. He's the leader by example. Well, he's had big performances.
Is there room for growth for Jason Tatum?
I would hope so.
That's
very young.
Scary part.
Yeah.
So I'm saying, you're saying, like, that's a knock. I'm sitting there saying that's an opportunity, like, for him to find his voice, but he needs somebody to help that come out. And I don't know. That may be Jalen Brown. Him and Jalen Brown can share that responsibility. It's not like every great player has to be the best communicator all the time. It can be you can share different roles with different star players. You
wonder,
need to find the right pieces.
Yeah, and I'm sorry to rush you on this, but we got to get to some other stuff. But I just wonder
so
also.
So in other words, be with, quiet.
Not quite. with Danny Ainge out of there, there's also a bit of the atmosphere change in Boston. You know what I mean? Because he's been there for a long time, and kind of his presence certainly has hovered over that franchise for a long time. He had great success, but of course with Danny Ainge, it was that championship, but never really able to get back to that after all the deals, all the moves, and all the assets he had. But more to talk about certainly on that and everything else. A very busy day in basketball yesterday and again today. KJZ presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Goodyear knows from here on out, every game is a chance to create momentum, to make the right pass, the right move, to hit the perfect shot. It takes momentum to get through the playoffs. It takes everything to capture a title. Goodyear, more driven. So market madness continues. So we're into the Sweet 16s and – we have the Titletown region. Yesterday, Steph Curry, Lindsey Whalen. Steph Curry comes away 76% of the votes. Not a huge surprise there, but good to see Lindsey Whalen got 23% of the votes, so put up a bit of a fight there. Now, the latest one that we have going up right now at KeyJNZ, again in the Titletown region in the Sweet 16, Patrick Kane in Chicago, Joe Burrow, Cincinnati. Now, why are you laughing? Patrick Kane, huge star.
Patrick Kane's going to win that one.
From the Blackhawks?
He's going to win that one.
Well, guess what he's doing right now?
He's winning.
Already 56.7% of the votes over Joe Burrow.
Joe Burrow.
Hockey versus NFL. You think Burrow's going to catch him?
Yeah, he's going to catch him.
You don't realize.
It's still early.
Patrick Kane is a huge,
I didn't say he wasn't.
Huge star.
I'm
in
just
Chicago.
Saying Joe Burrow.
And we are big in Chicago, too.
Joe Burrow, they just. He's a second coming, so they just feel like Cincinnati's on their way.
Yeah,
Cincinnati, the Bengal fans will wake up here in a minute. Watch what I tell you.
I just feel like a lot of people don't know who Patrick Kane is. Like he bumps into random people on the streets of Chicago, partying, taking pictures. Like He's like, sometimes you meet professional athletes.
It's another upset though with Joe. Watch.
Professional athletes, and you're like, they're just like me. They're like me.
Yes.
And that's who Patrick Kane is. I don't know if people know Joe Burrow well enough yet.
But remember though, it's Chicago's pushing their guy. Cincinnati has the Ohio. They got to push their guy. The state has to get up and start pushing the buttons.
It's just popularity, right? That's really what it is. It's all about popularity. Who would get the last table in the restaurant? And
what is it right now? 50 to what?
It's like 50. So let me get back to
that.
Here's why I'd watch out for Joe Burrow, though. Here's why I'd watch out for Joe Burrow. He's popular in multiple markets.
Yes.
He's the guy in Cincinnati. Yes. He's the guy in Baton Rouge. He's the guy in all of Louisiana.
All of Ohio
and
for the most part.
Yeah. He's
Except
the guy.
Maybe Cleveland.
Yeah, all of Ohio?
I don't think Cleveland's excited about Joe Burrow.
I said,
except maybe Cleveland.
Yeah.
Maybe Cleveland he's not, but certain sections of Cleveland, I'm sure, in that Ohio-based area, he's strong.
Okay.
That's why I think he's creeping.
Patrick Kane, big in Chicago, big in Western New York as well. Huge in Buffalo. Love him in Buffalo. Keep that in mind. So, you know, I think it's going to be interesting. These get interesting, and as they move on, just to explain everybody to the market madness, is we've had experts from all the markets come on, and they listed their top three in their specific market of who would be the most popular sports. Really, it's sports figures, but mostly active athletes and coaches. And we took all the number ones, and we put them into a bracket, and we're letting you vote to decide who continues to move on. It's been interesting so far, mostly predictable. This one, of course, though, is the one that I really want to keep an eye on. But you see LeBron James, Larry Fitzgerald, Jacob DeGrom, Baker Mayfield, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Yadi Molina, Steph Curry. And so now we see between Patrick Kane, Joe Burrow, who moves on to the quarterfinals.
Jacob DeGrom and Baker Mayfield. Ooh. Yeah,
that one's interesting, right? DeGrom beating Carlos Correa.
That was the orange
because
dude.
No one likes the Astros.
Cheaters.
Simple as that. Are you
curveball coming
on the garbage can?
That's what they did, though, Jay.
I know.
I'll never let it. As long as I'm alive, I'll never forget that.
How can you? How can you? Or not tearing off the jersey thing? Is that one of those scenes in sports? You know, there's those images in sports that we'll never forget.
My wife
covering up doing the no.
I wanted to cover up my tattoo because I didn't want my wife to see it. Really? Well, what about those pictures with you with no shirt on with that tattoo?
Images in sports, like Rondo looking at Kawhi, like LeBron
looking at J.R. Smith.
LeBron looking at J.R. Smith, or LeBron looking at Anthony Davis if Anthony Davis
is wearing street clothes tonight.
Come on, man. He's injured.
Maybe he should wear a Space Jam t-shirt if he's not going to play in the game.
You're not going to just sit here and pick on my Lakers.
You don't think? No, but the Lakers.